Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Danzy and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is, yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
I'm Tracy Dodow from Two Girls Going Rogue.
I'm Eric Geller from TheForce.net.
Dan Zare, Coffee with Kenobi.
And Lou from The Wizard of the
I'm Freddy from Rogue.
That's what we all do. So on our show, we focus on the annual aspect and having kids that are involved in Star Wars and stuff. So we wanted to ask you what it's like to have a daughter who loves Star Wars and Vader and getting to share that with your family and with fangirls in your family like Sarah.
Yeah, that's kind of the best part of the whole process, right? That's funny, but it would be mean for me to say. I was going to say, you know, they don't pay us, so it better be fun. But, you know, for me, my wife's doing the show because my daughter thinks it's so great. And that's why she's doing it. Like, my wife is a nerd, but in different ways than me. She didn't see Star Wars 100 times. She saw it a normal human amount of times, the proper amount. But to see her daughter's face sort of explode in delight when she sees her daddy do amazing things or get genuinely scared and sometimes not want to watch when bad things are happening to daddy. You know, that's what inspired her to come into our second season, and she gets to play a great, great, great character that people will love, and that I can't say too much or people will know what kind of character she is, but my daughter is going to flip out when she sees her. So in that aspect, Star Wars is for children, whether you're, you know, 40, 60, 20, or 2, you know, it's made for that kid inside you. And I always thought it told a more honest story than most of the other cartoons or television shows or movies out there, because like we were discussing earlier, the good guys don't always win. Sometimes they lose. And that's a real lesson that people have to figure out in life. And in this generation of instant gratification where there's literally no such thing as patience, right? Because there doesn't have to be patience anymore. People don't have to wait for hardly anything. And then they wonder why their relationship screw up. Because you didn't wait, man. You texted 27 times after y'all went on your first date. Like, that's stalker status. When I was a kid, if you called someone after a date 20 times, they ain't calling you back ever because you're a creep show. And nowadays, if you don't, they're like, well, he didn't text or she didn't text. What's going on? Like, yeah, you don't want them to, but people can't. They can't wait. They need everything right now, and Star Wars has never done that, and it makes fans angry sometimes, but it's what's right for them. And whether they know it or not, Star Wars is saving you from yourself. And, you know, Dave mentioned, it's like nobody ever asks about what happened season one. They all just want to know what happened season two. And we're in that generation of, you know, can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. Sorry, wait. You can think I'm a jerk. Sometimes my daughter thinks I'm a jerk. I just say, wait, she goes, how much longer? I go, a lot longer.
Well,
and she asks again. I say, now I've added time to it. Now you're going to wait even more than necessary. It was an hour, and I'm adding an hour. And it makes her nuts. She goes bananas. And her friends would never even fathom that concept because their parents wouldn't do it to them. You know what I mean? Because they're a part of the not waiting anymore either. So that's what I've always loved about Star Wars. Our show does it too. You don't know everything about our characters at the end of season one. You know that they had a small victory in the grand scheme of things, and now they're in some trouble. And that's the long-winded version of the answer. Now, I've had to be short-winded this whole day, so you guys are getting the long-winded version.
One of the things I was curious about is, you know, in the original trilogy, we don't really see how the Rebels treat Luke as, like, a Jedi or as a symbol of the Jedi. Mm. Well, now, Freddy, you're playing a character who is meeting up with a larger group of Rebels who is actually from the Order, not just, you know, trained by someone from it like Luke. Can you say anything about how these new Rebels that you're meeting treat Kanan, given his what he represents and where he was and what he's done?
I can answer some of it. Kanan doesn't like governments. Kanan doesn't like politics. And he certainly doesn't like clones, based off his history. So what they were doing, I think, was something that you have to remember. Hera was the only one who knew they were a part of something bigger. And I think Kanan is a creature of habit, like most men in their early 20s, that refuse to change and then figure it out in their mid-30s. Oh, that's why chicks hate me. But I think he's not in a place where he's ready to compromise yet. He's not a full-blown Jedi master who would understand how to negotiate through the sort of political world of war. And, yeah, you'll get hooked up. Don't worry. You got good people here. They got love for you. But I think he's in a position where he's going to be working with people that he does not like, working with people that he does not respect, and he's going to put them in a position where you have to earn it. And if you're not willing to earn it, then not that a Jedi would say this, but F you. you know what I mean? Like, you guys killed my master. You killed everybody that I ever knew and taught. So if you want me to trust you, you got to earn it.
So
and
there's hostility from him.
There would have to be. Yeah. There would have to be. I mean, think about if you met this old guy that was going to help you out, and that old guy was responsible or represented what was responsible for killing your parents, basically. You're going to mm-hmm. There's going to be some growing pains. It's not going to be like, okay, now we're on the same team fighting a common enemy. No. There's trust issues there. There's programming issues there that Dave even discussed about chips and heads and things like that. So how can you trust somebody who's not programmed to be trustworthy? So, you know, whether they say they're not programmed anymore or not, how's he going to believe that? Mm-hmm. Why would he believe that? So I think Ahsoka will play a major part without giving too much away as far as letting him know who he can trust and who he can't. And he'll have a very special respect for Ahsoka as well. You'll see their partnership and their relationship grow quickly. As far as what he thinks of her and how she feels about him.
Very cool. All right, well, I know you know we're not spoiler guys at all, but I want to talk about your background in storytelling and just, you know, what you know about mythology and your passion as a fan. So let's talk about the etymology of the name Kanan and how you see that name contributing to Kanan's journey.
I mean, this is something that was brought up recently, and I haven't applied any of it to my performance as far as the meaning of the name, and we spent some time speaking about that today. That's more what the creators of the show are doing, and they're finding that the name that sounds wonderful and not, you know, like, why would I follow that guy? You know, like, John McClane was a great name. If it was John Johnson, you're like, no, not watching Die Hard 1, let alone 2, 3, or 4, or 5, or 6, or whatever they made. So that's more from the writer and the writers or creator of a show. For me, you know, the name is... It doesn't have the importance that maybe fans want it to have for me because he's a lot more than that. You know, like when we first talked about the character and I did research, the last thing that I would check is, you know, I wonder why he changed his name, or I wonder, you know, where this name came from. For me, it was all about Deppa and that moment and how he deals with something that's horrible, something that victimized him, and then because he's a kid still in a lot of ways, something that he feels shame about because he feels partially responsible. And I think you get a touch of that in the interrogation scene with Jason Isaacs. But you don't get a full sense of it until season two. And he'll have a moment where he kind of lets it all out after he's had to deal with his tenuous relationship with Rex. I don't think I'm giving away too much by saying that, but you'll see they don't see eye to eye on much. And Rex, God bless him, you know, he knows what he represents to this kid. And I think you guys will see a very compassionate and open-hearted Rex, much more so than the stoic sort of centurion soldier type that he was from Clone Wars, with the awesome blue shoulder piece. But you'll see a more grandfather. A grandfather doesn't take any crap, and it won't take it from Kanan either, but a more... A broader view of the Outer Rim as opposed to this sort of myopic, you know, Jedi rebel view that Kanan's in, which is, you know, survive, attack, survive, attack, survive, attack. Rex is older, wiser. He wants to know more about the reason why you fight. You know, the like war only serves itself. He's at that point in his life, and Kanan's just not there. So it's not so much the name that helps me shape who this guy is so much as it is the history, because that's how real life sort of shapes us. I'm the kind of guy I am because of, you know, the people that I lost, the people that I found, the people who inspired me to do right, the people who, whether they were doing wrong or right, that you learn what not to do sometimes by admiring people because you see how their life ends up and you're like, ooh, I admired that guy. Let's make sure we don't do that again. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's more what shapes a character for me, at least that's how I personally create one.
You have good and bad teachers and mentors, whether they want to be or not, basically.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, they say in martial arts, they say there's no bad teachers, there's only bad students. But I never agreed with that. You know, there's you know, the opposite is there's no bad students, but there's only bad teachers. I don't agree with that either. You know, it takes an equal amount of effort from two people to make anything work when there's a partnership involved, whether that's Ezra and Kanan or Hera and Kanan, whether it's love, friendship, brothers, or teacher-student relationships. So, you know, I learned from, you know, my Uncle Jim a lot of stuff that sort of taught me how to be a man, and I saw him do a lot of stuff that I would never do ever. And that wasn't a lesson that he intended, but it's still a lesson learned, and you'll see a lot of that in season two, especially between Kanan and Rex. Their relationship season two, I think, is a very dominant presence over the first half of our season anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of what helps open that door into what makes Kanan tick, and a lot of into what makes Rex tick for people who aren't familiar with it enough yet. And for people who are familiar with him, they sort of get to see his perspective on the Clone Wars now as a senior citizen, basically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
While they're getting, you know, early bird dinners and stuff and trying to be alone and away from everybody. And all of a sudden these kids come and they say, Ahsoka sent us.
Yeah, right.
What's he supposed to do with that? You know, yeah, exactly. He could be Clint Eastwood or he could be Jack Lemmon. You don't know which way he's going to go. And I think he's representative of Clint, and his heart and soul is much more Jack Lemmon in this form of Rex. D may have a different opinion, but as far as my experiences and my character with him, that's what I really pulled from his performance, which makes it harder for Kanan to attack him, right? Because he's not being a jerk. And it's that constant... Every time I test him with something and he passes that test, he earns a little bit more. I don't think Kanan's going to, and you'll see in the performance, he doesn't give it up right away. It's not like right. We do one episode and it's the Cosby Show and at the end all the problems are worked out. You know, this is actively going on even right now as we're still recording. But in the beginning, that's definitely what the relationship is.
All right, so now that you've voiced Kanan for a while, right, do you feel like you've embodied him to the point where you know what his purpose is in his day-to-day life as well as being a part of the Ghost Crew?
I mean, to a degree, there's always, you know, if you know everything, then your character gets boring
pretty
quick. So there have to be challenges and there have to be faults and qualities. He can't just kick everybody's butt and he can't always be right all the time.
Right.
I mean, shows do that, but it's just not shows that I watch. But yeah, man, I mean, I know what Dave wants, I'd say 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. And... you know, if I'm wrong, Dave's pretty cool, man. Like, he's open-minded to any take you have on the line and is willing to explore it if you cut something differently than how he heard it. But, you know, Dave and I are very similar. Like, we're close to the same age. We both played World of Warcraft for, like, 7 years. We both almost lost our wives because of it. Like, we're big gamers, big anime dorks. Like, the first two anime he bought were the same first two that I ever bought, which was Vampire Hunter D and Ninja Scrolls.
Nice.
And we both ordered them from Manga on the 800 number. This was back in like the late 80s or early 90s.
Yeah, right? How old are you, dude?
I'm old, homie. I'm pushing 40. But yeah, so, you know, a lot of Kanan is Dave and a lot of Kanan is me. But the two of us together, I mean, he wants Kanan cocky. Dave's cocky. You know what I mean? And my grandfather would say, it ain't bragging if you've done it. You know what I mean? And Dave's done it. So that cockiness is warranted. It's not ha-ha in your face. It's, wow, this is good. You know what I mean? So my grandfather also said, if 100 people tell you you're dead, to lay down. So if everybody's screaming and yelling at how awesome something is, you know, you don't let it go to your head, but you got to believe their opinion. You know what I mean? To them, it's awesome. And not everybody likes Picasso, but the people that do are very moved by the work he did. And that's kind of how I look at all artists. Mm-hmm. And Dave takes them both equally, the criticism and the love equally. You know, he embraces both, and that's the way you challenge yourself. That's the way you evolve. I mean, he told a story about his wife not liking Ezra and how he kind of just started from scratch and started over, and that's challenging yourself. So I think it's important to not know exactly how he's going to react in every type of situation, because otherwise the performance isn't as organic and as natural as it needs to be. You want things to sort of catch you off guard. You want to have questions when you get there to record to say, Dave, you know, I read this line and I was thinking this, but I'm not quite sure if that's the right thing. Yeah. Because that means those are the questions that other people are going to ask when they see it, and it's got people's brains going. Yeah. So it's all good whether you you're 100% there, or whether you feel you're 100% there, or if you're 90, because we all kind of work together. I ask Vanessa, you know, did you like that take? And she'll always say yes, because she's super nice. But, you know, if I ask her for her opinion, or, hey, how would you read this line? I mean, she'll do it. You know what I mean? And sometimes that's all it takes, is somebody gives you an idea and you just run with it.
Sure.
Okay. Excuse me.
So I don't know if you've seen on Twitter, but a lot of people are referring to Kanan and Hera as being space married.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's something
that define space marriage for me.
Space married is basically a
like married in space.
They're married in space,
but
they're not actually.
But
they're not actually married.
You're allowed to date whoever you want.
Yeah.
Right? Only in space.
Only in space.
Okay, so it's monogamy in space.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No,
okay.
It's just that they're. You know, that they are a couple, and a lot of people want them to be a couple. And we hear Hera say love and things like that, which I don't interpret that way. And I've discussed it with Vanessa in depth, and she has her own opinions. But I'm curious as to how you would define their relationship.
I think they're very much in love, and I don't think there's much time for relationships in the middle of a war. So that's how I describe it. I don't know how Vanessa does, but I know that they've had a relationship, and if you read the novel, then you know that. And so we don't hide that, you know what I mean? But it is Disney Channel, you know. There's like
there's only so much that can be.
Well, look, there's artists out there that whose you know mind isn't as hip to the business as it is creatively in tune. So they'll go and draw like some crazy sex scene between Kanan and that's not because they're a dirtbag. They don't understand. That's creatively how they see things, and they're expressing that creatively. Whereas, you know, if they worked for George Lucas, they'd be like, sorry, bro, don't even pitch that. It's Disney, and you can't do that. But the artist brain doesn't work like that. The artist brain sees an image in their head and they want to, you know, put that on paper and show you to see what you think. So, you know, to me, it's awesome that people see that and want to commit to that. But don't think that you're going to see a scene with Hera and Kanan, you know, making out and doing all that. It's not going to happen. Like, it's just, I'll
tell you. It's not Twilight.
It's not a spoiler or anything. It's just not going to happen, man. That's not the story we're telling. You see the love and you feel the love, which gets people talking. But they're in the middle of a war, man. I mean, look, I was in what was considered one of the worst science fiction movies ever made. I think it was considered the third worst. I don't remember which two beat it. There was an L. Ron Hubbard one, which took second. I think that was Battlefield Earth. Jesus. And there was one other one that was even crappier than ours, but it was Wing Commander. And it was the same kind of vibe with Matt Lillard's character and Ginny. I don't remember Ginny's last name. Beautiful British actress. And they have a love scene, and it's the end of it, right? Like, they're just kissing, and all of a sudden, you know, the sirens go off, and she's like, oh, come on, you know, let's go again. And he's like, what can I do? It's war. You know what I mean? And he's out. My character doesn't get any booty in that movie. That's probably why it sucked. But Lillard's did. But that's kind of what Hera and Kanan are going through. It's the middle of a war, man. There's no time for ooey-gooey feelings, you know what I mean? Because you never know when you're going to get attacked. I think most movies play at that, and so I feel we're in line with that.
Even for the king of 90s romantic comedies?
Hey, man, you know, it's one thing for the rom-com movies and the teen love, you know what I mean? But if they did some of that in Star Wars, I feel like people would literally explode, like, in anger, you know what I mean? Like, I remember people getting hot during the second trilogy at like guys like Jar Jar, and I always thought like that's unnecessary criticism because that's a very selfless character. Mm-hmm. It's a very brave character who puts himself and his people on the front lines, and they're not even warriors. They're not Marines. They're not clones. You know what I mean? They're doing that out of love and passion and respect. And so to crap on that says more about you than it does about Jar Jar. It says more about what you're willing to do in a situation of crisis, which is, oh, I'll be in the back. I'm not a fighter. I just talk shit. You know what I mean? Or talk trash. Sorry, you can't say this. So, you know, to me, I never took that Jar Jar criticism well, because I just, to me, that was just cowards talking trash. But if Kanan and Hera were making out in a scene and people started talking to her, I just have to take that. Like, you just got to take that. That's you. You messed up. You shouldn't have done that in a Star Wars movie. You know, you ain't going to see that with Anakin and his lady. You know what I mean? Like, even then it was contained and it was, you know, isolated. And it was more looks of struggle and pain. We want to be together. We can't be together because of politics, because of war, because of all these things. You know, they didn't even go for it. And I would never want to take anyone out of the Star Wars universe even for a second with a bad mistake like that. So who knows? I say that, in the next episode we may have a full-on sex scene. Right, of course,
but has someone
hopefully
you
not
art like that? You said, you know, people like to draw things.
Well, I did Dragon Age.
Is that a personal experience?
No, I did Dragon Age, so I've seen plenty.
Oh, okay. You've been on Google Image Search.
I don't know what just happened.
People just tweet me pictures they drew of the Iron Bull having sex with them, and he's this like 8-foot. He's this 8-foot Kunari. Don't say ooh. This is it's an artist drawing. That's I didn't draw it.
True.
It's just they got inspired by something, so they put it on paper. You know, people could say that about Soutine. They could say ooh, but those are pretty dope post-Renaissance artists. You know what I mean? Like Amadeo Modigliani was doing a lot of nudes of Beatrice Hastings back in the day, and people. You know, or buying his paintings for 4 francs and crapping on him. And when he died, and Picasso says, you guys are idiots, this guy's awesome. They went for 350,000 francs. So art is something that's very, specific to the person who's looking at it. I've seen a lot of the Ahsoka artwork over the years, and so it's easy for me to tell, people see a character that they fall in love with and they want to express themselves with that character. So they make themselves a Jedi, and of course they'd be with Ahsoka. And I don't think that's creepy or weird in any way, shape, or form. I know every human being on this planet has had a fantasy of being with somebody that they thought was super cool. They just didn't have the skills to draw it. And that's life, you know what I mean? So people can crap on those guys if they want, but all
that's in perspective.
I'm saying they're just a better artist than we are. That's all. They can draw and we can't. That's all they're saying when they do that. And so, you shouldn't get too creeped out about that stuff, Tracy, because it says a lot about you.
Yeah, Tracy.
but yeah, man, so I'm cool with all that stuff. I know what's right for the show, and to go too deep into that relationship wouldn't be right for the show.
No, I agree, actually.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, man.
Yeah,
pleasure.
For sure. Pleasure. I know we don't get much time here, but
no, it's all good.
Over the podcast, we always get more.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at Coffee with Kenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.